Are you insane?
They are insane!
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Red Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kip, 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 Kip.
Hi, Christopher, I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Bob.
Whoops!
There's a Starfleet vessel down there.
Your little sachet as you walk down. That sachet was big, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we get it. You know, you're a Kelpian.
Full body. Yeah.
What? So, like, from an evolutionary standpoint, what does that do as far as like why? Because we know when he runs, he doesn't run like that. He doesn't like that, like side to side.
He runs like this.
I know he's a very forward running guy, but otherwise he's just like, he's got, when he's walking, it's this little sachet. It's kind of strange.
RuPaul-esque sachet.
It's fabulous. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know,
I love it.
I mean, it's really, but I just don't know, like, from a biological standpoint, what it accomplishes. Or, I mean, like, honestly, like, if he's walking down the corridors, is he, like, hitting people as he goes? He's like, oh, sorry, Lieutenant, sorry, Ensign, oh, sorry, Commander. And I mean, like it's going to be kind of a thing where it's like, oh, Jesus, here comes Saru. I'll talk to you later. He's coming my way, all right? He's just, like, clearing the deck. Oh, my gosh. Well, hello, everyone. Hello. You've stumbled upon our little pre-conversation there.
The best part, half an hour of me trying to get my computer to work.
Oh my gosh. We should start a Patreon just to fund Kim's computer. She has a 1943 computer. It's a UNIVAC.
Fills the entire room.
She uses punch cards for all her replies. These are all
so
synthesized with punch cards. It's coal powered. Oh my gosh. But I am Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
Otherwise known as
the Doctor.
We haven't done this for a while. We have not. I don't know the last time we've had a little grouping here.
Two-hander, as Matt loves to say.
Well, it's a two-hander.
It's really cheap to produce. It's a two-hander.
But even just like us, like, getting together and like talking about stuff, I feel like I've, you know, had a couple of my own and with Kiernan, and
we were in the business center.
Right. Yeah, you're right. The business center, like, crammed into a weird business center talking about stuff. This is us with like time to burn, although not as much now because we're
I'm wide awake.
I know you are. I know we're spinning into your cycle now. It's
yes.
Kim is also. She will never sleep. She is a daybreaker. It's kind of a deep vampire reference. But anyways, we are here to talk about season 2 of Discovery. The first episode came out, and we just watched it. Kim just watched it. I watched it a couple days ago, and I was so. I was so bummed about this coming back. I was like, oh, man, this thing's coming back. I was in a bad mood out that I'm probably, like, this is an ongoing thing, but the Star Trek Lower Decks thing, I was up for a writing position, and it looks like they're going to pass over me.
Fools.
Yes, very much fools. Well, Mike McMahon's a good guy. I don't blame him for, well, I do blame him. He's made a foolish mistake. You're a fool and you know it, Jim. That's from The Cage, or that's from where No Man's Gone Before. But so I was bummed out that day. I got that information, and then I saw, and then I was like, oh, I should just watch this. I had a big pitch the next day, and I watched it. I was like, I'll just watch it. And I liked it. I
have to insert some music here when you
a little Trek sting.
Yes.
Jim, what do you mean you like it? I like it. I like it, Bones. You will too. It's this side of paradise. The spores have gotten to me, Doctor. I'm so happy finally.
I think that might be a factor. The air's too hot and thin. There's You're not thinking clearly.
No, I mean, maybe, like, I was ready to hate watch it. I was just like, I had this big pitch the next day for DreamWorks Animation. See, you know what? I don't have to do. I'm doing big things. I'm a big time guy.
You can do both. You can pitch and hate watch or enjoy watch.
This is true. Well, I as it turned out, when I went in there, I probably should have spent an extra hour on Thursday night actually prepping, but that's all right. It's fine. It's all still good. But I went and I started watching it, and Pike shows up, and man, it was like a different show. I mean, Kim, what were your thoughts? I mean, you just got done watching it, so what do you think? Maybe you're completely wrong.
Yeah, I surprisingly liked so much of it. I was only bothered every now and then, and it was mostly trivial things, but I don't know. Do you feel like they kind of heard the feedback from the fans from season one?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Anson Mount's role was to roll in and say, hey, everybody, I'm the new captain, and everything you saw last year is not going to happen. I mean, everything he said was coded to the audience. He's like, I know we're doing a hard left turn here. We might ruffle some feathers, but we're going to have some fun.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, make sure you check out episode 5. It's going to be great, kids. Bye-bye.
What did he say? Oh. It's a dude.
I read everyone's name off who tweets about this show.
Well, but like we had them read off their names, roll call. I'm like, roll call?
I know. Roll call.
I appreciated it. It was so odd.
You know, the funny thing is, and maybe we can get to it right now, but that was my favorite part of the entire episode.
That roll call part, or when he is like has his service record behind him and or his personal.
No. That was a little kind of like, oh, I got an F in, you know, astrobiology or you know, astronomy, and it's like, eh, okay, all right, that's fine. No, it was the roll call. It was the weirdest thing. I know. Maybe you don't like it, but here's why I liked it. And this maybe encapsulates the whole thing is that, so he comes in, he says, okay, I need to know everyone's names, drop the rank, it's fine. And then we go on, we learn everyone's name on the bridge after 15 episodes.
You've heard them, but it wasn't made a big deal in the past.
Well, no, but shouldn't it have been? I mean, isn't this the crew, like the people on the bridge in every single other series is, they're really important because they've earned that position on the bridge. And instead we're in mycelial labs and, you know, screwing around with Michael Burnham in it like a holding cell. I mean, all this weird nonsense. And I don't know who, like, iPod girl is. I don't know what her name is.
Oh, I forgot it already. But they keep playing that goofy sound effect when they show her in that. Lieutenant so-and-so. You notice that?
No, I didn't, but I like that. That's,
you gotta watch it. It's so weird.
It's
like, is she making that sound, or is it just like a comedic sound effect whenever she comes on screen?
She looks like the stick shift in my Kia Soul. I'll be honest with you. I will post that. I was looking at today. I'm like, oh my god, she has a kind of like the racing stripe head kind of thing in my stick shift, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to post that. That's so crazy.
Yeah, you have to.
But I mean, it's nice that like finally someone's like after 15 episodes, we're finally acknowledging these people on the bridge have value. So he goes around and says, okay, everyone, tell us your names. Okay, I'm Michael Burnham. I'm the guy who's going to die. I'm girl with crazy eye. I'm, you know, other girl. I'm robot.
Mike Stick Shift.
I'm Mike Stick Shift. I'm a communications guy who, you know, suddenly has a line. And then he's like, okay. And then this is the best part about it. So he goes off. He says, okay, like, you do this. You do that. You do this. He remembers all their names.
Yes.
He remembers them like in an instant, which instantly engenders confidence in you, right? If like someone like instantly knows your name and calls you by your name, you're like, oh, that's really great. He gives them all specific things to do.
That does remind me. I do appreciate that. Like, we have board members at the theater where I work, and the few who remember my name, I appreciate it.
Yes, it is such a good thing when someone,
next time you ask me for a favor, I'll remember that.
Someone remembers your name.
I'll try and make you happy.
I mean, like, isn't it like Giorgio and Lorca, they're like helmsman, you know, tactical officer. I mean, like, maybe they said their names a couple of times, but we certainly didn't remember it. He stops everything right in the beginning. Actually, he'd been on like the bridge for like 3 or 4 hours because we had that weird, you know, Sarek and Burnham conversation. And then we come back. He goes, okay, after 4 hours, let me learn your names. but that's okay because we cut through that. So he gets all their names and he even tags a little like you fly good. And then the best thing is that as a group, they all say, aye, captain, or aye, sir, him, which one. But like in unison, finally, we have a team. Oh, my God. What a novel concept that if we get a captain who isn't going to be eaten by Z or who isn't like terrified to be in the captain's seat, that it works. How amazing. Is it not mirror universe asshole pretending to be the right person?
Yeah, I also feel like they didn't try to cram in 500 beloved Star Trek elements into this first episode. Relax. Like, they just teased us with the Enterprise. Like, you see it, we don't go aboard. We don't see anything, just there it is, and it exists in this world now.
Well, it's, I mean, they finally figured out, okay, you know what, people who watch this show tend to like Star Trek. We've a lot of our in-house, like, deep dive on the stats seem to show they like Star Trek. What if we gave them Star Trek? What if, like this is crazy, but what if we did Star Trek? Now, hear me out. Now, I've been doing some research, and one of the ships in Star Trek is called the Enterprise, not the rental car company, but a spaceship called Enterprise, all right? What if we showed that? And what if we put some of the, like, Pike and Spock and Number One? We could put them all in there, guys. It's all there.
They also didn't hit us with Spock in episode one, too.
Well, and that was smart, too. Originally, Alex Kurtzman was like, you're never going to see Spock except for in season two. And then you're going to see him the whole time because the whole season's just going to be called Spock. It's discovering Spock.
Well, this episode is called Brother.
Well, I know this is kind of like, you know, the guest that's coming to dinner, you know, we're all waiting for. We all know it's about Spock, but to me, it was really about Pike showing up and just cleaning house and just putting down, saying, it reminds me a little bit of we've talked to this before, like the West Wing, where you have Martin Sheen, he's the dad. You need a dad to be like, okay, you kids run off and do your things. I'm the dad. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be checking stuff out every once in a while, go on missions, but you guys do your thing, like Martin Sheen in the, you know, the West Wing. And then if there's any big problems, I'll come and clean them up. That's what we needed. We didn't need a dysfunctional dad who's going to hit us every time we ask him a question. Daddy, please.
Wait, you still talking about the show?
I don't know what we're talking about. I just want to talk to my dad.
Why didn't you love me?
He just set me down from the TV and had me watch Star Trek. Watch Star Trek. Then went away. He wouldn't come back to days.
Star Trek is my daddy. Wait a minute. We figured it out. 110 episodes.
So in general, I really enjoyed this course correction. It was, as they said, a hard left. But it worked. It was everything we've been clamoring for. You and I have been talking about for 15 episodes. And Jason, who couldn't be here tonight, engineer Jason, due to technical difficulties.
His pod was hit by an asteroid.
Was hit by a mycelial, I don't know.
Oops.
Oh, geez. All right. Hey, you know what? You can watch this on YouTube if you want.
It's really, really not worth it.
No, it's fabulous. This is going to be the thing. You can see my crazy PS4 headset I've got on here. It looks like I'm like,
I noticed, like you're
air traffic controller here or something on strike. You know?
Taking orders for Chantix. What are you doing? If you call now.
No, Ray Liotta's not here, but I can take your call. Yes, it does work. Yeah, if you want to check all the fun stuff we talk about and post, check out our Facebook page. I just want to talk about Star Trek Facebook page. Go to our iTunes page and give us a like. Now, for some reason, we're not listed whenever you search Star Trek on iTunes.
Is that a recent development? Did you?
Yes. Like happened like what January changed? 1st. It happened before, too. It just like drops off. And it also dropped off on Spotify, too. I was informed by someone. I'm trying to talk to, what are they called? Audio? No, Starburns Audio. Starburns Audio, our podcast network. And they're like, we'll look into it. Like, well, yeah. When someone types in Star Trek, this should pop up. I mean, like, that just seemed like when you go to podcast, you type the word Star Trek. Like the Jenna and Julian podcast, the Meaningless Activity podcast shows up, the John Bachelor show. Like none of these have the word Star Trek in them. Mine has Star Trek in it. So sorry, I'm not that upset. We have our loyal fans, and if you don't mind, share it with a friend. That's fine. Anyway, let's get back to this. Should we go through it? Like,
sure.
Or did you write stuff down or no?
I can't. Did. So I always lose track.
Yes, this is why we've got Kim here.
It's also why it takes me 2 hours to watch an episode.
I know you watch it hard, and I just kind of watch it once through. Although I watched this a couple of times, Kim. I actually watched this a few times.
Oh wow, you did like it.
Well, I just watched that scene over and over again, that roll call scene, because like this is the moment that I feel like it's finally figured out what Star Trek is. So there's other moments too. Mm. All right, so
we pick up right at the end of season one, where they were on their way to Vulcan to get their new captain, and yep. Sarek has joined them. But en route to Vulcan, they get a signal from the Enterprise. What? So they drop out of warp. And we have all these mix of flashbacks to Michael as a child when she first meets Spock in his very spacious room that my entire apartment would fit in.
They look like a lot of room in that room.
A museum. Modern art museum or an office building.
He's on display. He's got one bookshelf to the side, and it's filled with all sorts of weird, like, objects. It's like, you know, I don't know. I will put this circle here. Okay. And then I get, there's not even a bed. It's just like
that's true.
It's just like a little workbench. And, all right. So we have all these different flashbacks of Michael Burnham thinking about Spock.
Their first meeting with Spock, where before he says a word, he from his little drawing pad, that he can pull images off and throw them in the air, and creates this serpent that comes at her.
I know. It's like in some ways they're almost presenting him as like on the spectrum a little bit. It's kind of weird. He doesn't say anything. He like throws this weird snake temper tantrum, and he just shuts the door on her. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he's very logical. You'll find out.
Well, is this the first we've heard that they don't have a good relationship? What has she said about him in season one? Just that he was my brother.
Very little, very little. They concentrated on Sarek and a little bit on Amanda, but I mean, they were dedicated so much to not making this about the Enterprise and Spock and Kirk and all those people, but that changed. So suddenly this first episode is all about Spock. It's like,
really? They had no intention of ever mentioning him in this whole series?
Or that's what they said. That's Alex Kurtzman said, we will never talk about Spock. We'll never talk about any of them. You know, because Kirk right now is going up through the Academy, and so is a lot of the other people. But Spock, you know, was on the Enterprise around this time. You know, he's you know. So it made sense that there's a potential to run into him. Especially when, you know, I mean, you put a character who, you know, just beyond comprehension is like his stepsister, you know, I mean, like, or his just adoptive sister. Like, why would you do that and then say, we're never going to talk about him. Don't worry about it, you know? Oh, okay. That sounds good.
You've got a lot of other cool stuff to show you, like these crazy Klingons that look nothing like you're expecting. We're going to hit the mirror universe. Everything.
All the stuff you didn't really want to see, you're going to see, all right? It's all going to be 25% different contractually.
That's right.
Bad Robot has to make things. It's conjecture that Bad Robot has to make things 25% different from the original series. And it kind of looks like that. You know, the Enterprise is bigger and has slightly weird stuff going on with it. All right, so he get the flashbacks, and then...
Then they are trying to find out what's going on with the Enterprise. They can't communicate, but there are 203 people aboard alive. So then Tilly, with her first comedy moment of the season, have you tried Morse code? So they do get in touch. Go comms. I'm like, oh, shut up. Don't start.
So here's the thing, and improvising additional comedy beats in a scene is always tricky. Same thing happened in the Orville too tonight when I was watching it. It seems funny maybe in the room, and you know when you're kind of like, you know, it was very static and loud, and you become like Woody Allen a little bit. You just keep on adding on, and you know, because everyone, it just seemed like. And I didn't know, like, okay, got it, good comedy established, comedy frequency open, good.
So I see that's going to continue.
It does in this episode.
And probably for the whole series. They make contact with Pike, and he's on his way over with a science officer and an engineer.
Yeah, the beam over with the weird woman with braces, like pre-bait braces.
But they don't mention
what were you gonna say?
Which science officer, so we're all expecting, oh, here's Spock's big introduction.
Oh, right, yeah, it's the kind of the tease that, oh, Spock's gonna be here, and have you talked to Spock for a while? This is gonna be awkward, isn't it?
I had not expected to see him again. I was dictating notes while I was writing it. Notes say, I had not expected to see his bike again. I think I meant to say like? I don't know.
But the, I had not expected to see his bike again. The bike beams over.
But we have our new opening credits. It has some added things, like that Red Angel image is in there now. Section 31 images in there now. And I noticed they have 15 executive producers. Went back and watched. I'm like, 15? I know there's always tons of regular producers, but executive? Is that unusual?
It is. I mean, there's always been a lot of executive producers in the show. The credits are basically all executive producers. They all either get like single card, which means like just their name on the screen, or like, you know, double card or whatever it is. And yes, there are so many executive producers. Oh, it's just...
And Gretchen Berg was one of them, right? Wasn't she one of the ones who was fired? That claimed that they were abusive and all that?
Well,
her and one other person?
Yeah, because after Fuller left, they became showrunners, I believe. And then they got fired two episodes into the season because of that, and also because they ran way over budget. I
forgot that it was two episodes in.
Yeah, basically crippling the rest of the season, like the Enterprise, like sitting there inert, kind of budget problems.
So these first two episodes are super expensive.
Well, my God, the amount of effects and
field and all that.
Asteroid field, and they're wearing those suits with the little visors, which are CG, like the whole time.
Yeah.
Everything, like the first 15 minutes, was just nonstop CG. It just seemed like, it was fabulous. It felt like a feature. I'm like, they are spending so much money here, you know? It was great. I loved the look and the action. And and I was like, you guys are getting fired for this. Couldn't you just beam over? No. We got to take these crazy pods. We got to do a pod racing homage.
For you, Jason.
I know. Yeah. they needed to do the pod racing so they could kill the irritating nondescript white guy there.
not the one dressed in red, which I think everyone was expecting.
Well, I could tell that. I mean, because it's just like he was just so asking for it. Like it was just comically bad. He's like, let me tell you something, Michael Burnham.
Like, did you see the asteroid coming in the background?
That was kind of, I mean, that was okay. Just seeing that from the side, like, I knew, like, from the start, like, oh, he's not lasting. I'm the science officer, you know, don't worry. You know, after Spock, I'm number two and you're number five. So you're never going to be science officer. You might as well get off the bridge because I got this. I have no funny features about my face. I have no robot face stuff going on. I'm going to last for a long time. But nope, he didn't. He died. Do we skip over some stuff? Or
really. Yeah, a little. Well, when Pike appeared, I knew that your heart leaped with joy when you saw his gold command uniform.
I get 25% different. Again, 25% different.
Very snug.
Very yellow. As yellow as you can get, right? I mean, this is like the sun, like a blazing sun yellow. But I kind of liked it. I mean, it's a bold color, right? I mean, the Discovery outfits, they're so muted. They're blue with little, you know, like red or gold or bluish piping. Like, oh, we're kind of Star Trek, but we don't want to admit it. This is like, get out of the way, bright yellow.
I'm an engineer in red. I'm science in blue. So she mentions...
No, I love that scene also where...
I cut out.
No, you go ahead. Say something.
Oh.
Say something.
So the engineer woman looked like Senator Kamala Harris. She's walking and she's looking around like, oh, this is where the Federation spends their money.
Yeah.
So I thought, the flagship? Is the Enterprise still the flagship of the Federation?
That was kind of like a weird statement, too. Do not covet thy neighbor's starship or something like that, Pike says. I want to go back to where I like when he just like beams over and he says, you know, hey, from Montana, you know, we just got to rip off the Band-Aid here and, you know, I'm taking over. And, you know, it's just like he just announces his presence so forcefully. And he's like, everybody, hey, first season, get out of the way, man. I'm going to the bridge. I'm going to sit in that chair, and I'm going to take us away from that first season. Like, warp factor a billion. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, that was cool. I did like that. Like, yeah. Well, fine, you can't do that according to whatever section, blah, blah, the code, blah, blah.
Yeah. There's only nice three instances when that can happen. This, and this. Which is it? All of them. Two of three of them. Is that which one's the most dramatic? All of them. Three. None of them.
Why is this Vulcan bike here?
Ding ding.
With a bell. All the bells from his little frame.
That's right. <yeah. laughs> She had to jingle those bells too, though, you know.
Make everyone happy. Yes.
I know. All right, so they get to the bridge, right? Is that what happens?
Then we talk about this whole thing, which I guess is going to drive this whole season, about there's seven red bursts that have simultaneously appeared across 30,000 light years and have disappeared.
Just as MacGuffin-y as you can get. Just like, hey, everybody.
Seven MacGuffins.
There are seven MacGuffins. There are seven red crystals that we must get to save Princess Zelda. It's very important. And then you level up. Now, it is the most... I mean, we've known this for a long time. They were going to do this. But it's the most rudimentary thing. It's like, okay, this is our quest, guys. We've got seven things we've got to find. And and go.
That's what knocked out the Enterprise. They tried to scan one of them, but made all their systems go haywire. So that's why they're in space dock. Being repaired. And why it's so urgent that they have to put Pike on Discovery.
It's, you know, I was thinking about it. It's interesting because almost never is a ship knocked out to where it has to go back to space dock. It has to be towed. I mean, it's always like, oh, it's going to take us 3 days to get everything back online, or 10 hours. Oh, you've got those parts? You have like a warp coil? I mean, it's just like they're
towed. They never did that on original series, did they? Well, they didn't have to like go in for repairs or something like that. Like, that's when shore leave happened, I think. The ship was having some maintenance.
No, shore leave, they'd just been out for a long time. They were just super tired. They needed to kind of relax. So they did that. Maybe there's another one they had to kind of go back. But I mean, in Next Generation, after the you know, the Borg, best of both worlds. They did go into kind of like space dock and had the next episode, I think it's Family, where they're all on Earth kind of screwing around, which was kind of nice. I mean, but it's so rare. There's always, I mean, you know, I tell you what, you know, it's like your car, like, yeah, the engine was on fire and three tires blew out. Well, how long to get it fixed? Well, I'll say about 3 hours. You don't have any materials. Yeah, give me four then. What are you going to do? How are you going to like make a tire? I don't understand
space,
this.
Space, man.
It's space.
Make a tire.
Come on, people. Come on. Cool it, leak.
The only time it's worth having a video.
Yeah, see. This is...
Barely. So we have our elevator shtick. That was our teaser from last season.
I was like dreading that. Like I was looking away because of the whole sneeze nonsense. And they weirdly cut it in two as well. As opposed to, I think in the actual trailer, they like made it kind of one continuous thing where he sneezed on an old, you know, goofball science officer who's going to die anyways.
Nobody says a word. Guy kind of looked like the It's a Trap guy. Poor Jason.
Admiral Akbar, by the way.
Yes. But we have the whole bridge stick with Tilly being all giggly with Pike and his pinky.
You gotta get your DNA certification. Put your pinky. I can't believe I said pinky, Captain, blah, blah, blah. Who is this? How did she survive the Klingon War? Dear God.
So we see Pike's full record. See, he has a bit of a sense of humor. Like when he goes, okay, once it's up there, everybody grab a seat. Go ahead and read. Nobody sits down. Slow pan. Everyone's standing.
Now the view screens are so like, they're so kind of anticipatory that like, he just kind of like points like at his grades and like one of them zooms in. It's...
There's my F. Boink.
Yeah.
F.
Yep, there's my F. Like, oh, no, I didn't know. I actually wanted to hide that. Please, sentient screen, like, get rid of that. Like, here, like, you know, I mean, at this point in time, second season, I'm all in on this not being in any way, like, our universe, 1960s, the original series.
Are you okay with it now?
Well, but I just don't even think it, I mean, it's so... There's no way it's ever going to link up. There's no way we're ever going to get like, because even when they showed, you know, the Enterprise, when they went to Spock's, you know, quarters. I mean, he's got the little touchscreen thing, the little iPad touchscreen on his door now. It's they've just given up. They're like, no, we're not going to do that. Sorry,
can't go back now.
We can't go back. And if you still like the original series, you'll be dead soon enough anyways, and we'll win. So, I mean, it really is. I mean. We've moved past the point, unless it's like a bunch of senators who are like, I like Star Trek and we're going to shut down CBS. Like, no, I mean, you know, it's, there's nothing that can stop them.
Bunch of senators. From War Games, apparently.
Right. You're going to turn off Whopper right now.
Oh, I can't believe you remember that that fast.
Oh, yeah. Mr. President, we may have to go back down to DEFCON 1. Like, that guy's great, man. Are you kidding?
He's Barry like Corbin?
Quintessential. Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd make a difference.
Well, see, you know it too. Don't chide me. You're digging out quotes as well. I don't know.
Whopper.
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, like, that was the best thing, watching this crazy computer and all the incredible special effects of, what is it, 1983 or something like that, where those vector graphic, you know, simulations.
Yes.
The different...
Global thermonuclear war.
And all the different, like, you know, like the Afghanistan, you know, scenario, you know, the Cuban missile thing, the Nicaragua junta gambit. Like, I'm like, oh, wow, what's that one like? How does that get us to war?
Let's try that one.
Not too bad. Not total annihilation, you know, 70%.
Anyway. I am not him. I am not Lorca. We're all, thank God.
Yeah. It's again, talking straight to the audience. Guess what? I'm not him. I'm not. And you know what? Here's the thing is that I think we all would have been okay if Lorca was just Lorca. If it was just like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm a hard ass. I'm like a Captain Jellico type. You know, you're going to toe the line with me. Otherwise, there's going to be hell to pay. I think we're all behind that. And then it's like, ha-ha, I'm actually Mirror Universe. Ha-ha, and here's Giorgio. And, you know.
I like fortune cookies. Ha-ha. I know. Energy signals, a greeting or a declaration of malice. So they're on their way to investigate.
Yes.
In space. And my dictated notes say, we see the Enterprise in space dog as Discovery pulls away.
Space dog is riding a bike.
So en route, we have time for a couple catching up with people's characters. So Stamets. Yes. Looking like at an old video message. First, I thought he was like communicating with him real time with Hugh.
Like in the mycelial network, Discovery ghost ship.
Yeah, I was like, is this happening now? But I think it must have been like an old message he left for him, right?
I think it was an old message. But I thought the same thing too, because why not, right? Because anything can happen in the mycelial network.
Yeah. Talking about their love of opera.
Yeah, it was such a weird like reset. Like, you know, I love, you know, everything he did. They plunge a dagger into their heart after the high E. Like,
oh, geez.
All right, guys. Okay, writer's room, dial it back a bit. We got it.
Take that post-it off the wall.
We're in outer space. Yeah, exactly. Okay. We got to get rid of this
Castilian opera. Oh, boy.
Somebody watching this episode wrote that. It's like, yes, all right. That is now in. Yeah, and it is canon, everybody.
But Tilly is in charge of reallocating the ship's resources. So she's kind of has an opportunity to talk to all these different people, have little scenes with everyone.
She's like Julie in the Love Boat. She's kind of like, you know.
Cruise director.
She's like the cruise director. She's like, okay, you got to do this now. I'm going to move all your mycelial network because that didn't work out last season. So we're just going to like tuck it away someplace we never have to talk about again.
Well, we also learned that the spore drive is inactive for the moment.
Yeah.
So we've put that gigantic storyline on the back burner.
This is the most important thing ever is now going to be shelved. Although in the this season on, they do use it at least once.
Yeah.
Which upset me. Like this season on was the kind of the caveat which made me go, uh-oh, everything there I don't like.
Really?
Uh-oh. Well, we had Klingons, we had Giorgio, we had mycelial network. I'm like, nope. Sorry. None of those things are working for me.
But Pike's involved in all of that. You might like that.
Yeah, the exchange between Burnham and Giorgio, are you happy with that? Better go back to your snake pit. Yes. Oh, my.
But Stamets drops the bomb that the Vulcans have asked him to come teach for them. So he'll be leaving. But at the end of this mission, okay.
Yeah, which, it's.
I'm sorry, but that made me very happy. I'm like, yes, get rid of it.
I know. I think we're done with mushrooms for the franchise. I think we don't ever have to go to the mycelium.
Tired of his annoying character too.
I almost wonder if Anthony Rapp is like, you know, I've had my run. I'm ready to leave. It's fine. It's kind of like we had with who's that character, Lara or something on Orville, who just left. Who's like,
yeah.
Hey, why are you leaving? What's going on? And I guess she's like romantically involved with Seth MacFarlane. So I'm like,
oh, really?
Is she pregnant? What is going
on? I was wondering if they're trying to do some sort of like, hey, we're losing a major character just like Next Generation did.
It could be. Although, like, the
bring her back later. Yeah. For some crazy dramatic bad guy role or something.
Maybe. I mean, like, I heard that she might be like in and out of the season. But certainly the goodbye was like 8 minutes long and everyone gets a hug and like, she has not earned this. I'm sorry, but I mean, like, just like, you know, hug the Norm MacDonald, you know, green jelly thing is much. I mean, it's... all right, we'll get back to that.
Hugh is everywhere I look. So he's on his way out. So already losing him. Also en route, Burnham is reading Alice in Wonderland and we have a scene with Sarek. Mm-hmm. Talking about Spock again, dangling the The Spock storyline for us.
The Spock carrot in front of us.
The Spock-shaped carrot. So she's asking him, what did you want him to learn from me? And he says he wanted Spock to learn empathy from her. I'm like, that's what? An odd thing for Sarek to say. Why?
So human. I mean, I like this guy, this actor. He's a good actor, but you know, Mark Lenner played Sarek so stoically and so begrudgingly of any sort of emotions. And this guy, he's actually cracking a little smile now and then. You know, he's kind of okay, here comes Spock. You know, are you smiling? No, I'm not smiling. He needs to learn empathy. Well, what about from his mother? Oh, yeah. What about from his mother? Well,
she admired him or something.
He revered her. I don't remember him revering her. I mean, in the original series, he's like, hey, mom, what's up? You know, there wasn't a bow to her, you know. So,
I
they were trying to justify a reason for this new storyline of why is Spock important to Michael Burnham and what was the rift that is suddenly here, which we didn't know about until just now.
Sarek says that obviously something happened that you're not telling me, but I'm here for you in my very emotional, loving father way. What?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Maybe he's got a little touch of that syndrome he had the... remember Sarek towards the end of his life? Irritability syndrome where, you know, he's getting angry at everyone and crying and, you know, I loved you. And then Picard played, whoa, Jesus. I have not seen that scene in high definition, but I'm kind of a little scared. I'm a little bit scared.
Gonna watch it on giant, Jason's giant TV.
Yes. Giant's Jason TV. What was I watching? Oh, you know, it was in the Orville. Remember the Orville one with Alara and Robert Picardo?
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting all all misty eyed. He's got this little bit of snot in his nose.
I didn't see that.
In our big 4K TV now, we're all looking, and it's not like green snot. It's just like the fluid. It's like tear fluid, but it's it's in his nostril, and it's just it's shimmering in there. Oh God, that's all I'm seeing. With your weird burnt hand, which no one's attending to. Yes. And now you got just a tiny little glimmer of snot in your nose. And then you saw a cutaway and it comes back to him and it's gone. Obviously, it was okay, cut. Makeup, you know, last looks. It's okay. Why don't you blow your nose there? Okay. But yeah, all right.
But the Discovery arrives to begin right in the middle of a giant mess of asteroids. Because apparently that energy source said that, yes, this is where I am. And he's like, what's his name? Pike's like, where's my red thing?
Pretty good line, too. Where's my red thing? Just he's just all business, which is just kind of funny. He's just the thing I like is that he's a guy from Montana, you know, which is canon, you know. I mean, oh, good, we're going to do canon on this. But yeah, he is, you know, just like in the original, he's you know, from Montana. He's just
He said Mojave, right, when he first...
Oh, did you say Mojave? Maybe he's from Mojave. Maybe I got that wrong. For some reason, I thought he was from Montana. But anyways, he's a straight talker. He's kind of like a cowboy, rides horses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Anson Mount actually just got done doing Hell on Wheels four or five seasons with Colmeany. With Colmeany.
Excellent.
You're going to do that Star Trek show, are you? Let me give you a piece of advice. Don't listen to anything they tell you. Everything didn't make any sense to me. I just walked around and said words, and then I walked off stage.
Did he say that?
No, that's my Colmeany impersonation. Where, I just have this belief that Colmeany had no idea what was going on through seven seasons of Next Generation and seven seasons of Deep Space Nine. They kept telling me I was on space. I wasn't on space.
On space.
I would get done, and I would get in my car, and I would drive home. That wasn't space. Don't let them tell you anything different. All right, that's my Colmeany.
Yeah, that's some canned applause right here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I kind of lost the accent towards the end.
wacky sound effects.
What? Who? I need more wacky sound effects. Or what is that woman that weird stick shift had?
I bet it annoys the actor. Like, why do they do that every time I come up?
She's like, oh, my scene's coming up. Wait, what the hell? Who put that in there?
Play that back.
And she doesn't have enough clout yet, like on the show, to be like, hey, so can't help but notice that every time you guys show like a shot of me, there's a sound. Is that sound effect an accident? No. I mean, it's okay if it is, but I just didn't know if you noticed that. Oh, it's not. Okay. All right. It's really funny. Like rule of three comedy funny, right? Like after the third time, we don't do it anymore, right?
Every time.
No, I think we're probably going to boost the sound on you because we think it's hilarious. Oh, okay. Because I'm in that makeup chair for like 9 hours and if you're putting a funny sound in it, it kind of takes all the joy out of my life.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Good. All right. Let's recast her.
Now the crew is starting, like the film crew is starting to make that noise when I yeah. I know you guys think it's funny.
I get it, guys. I'm in on the joke too. But you know, my parents watch this. It's okay if we just not do it. Okay. I heard that. Funny. Yeah, I wonder if I could go over to Orville. I just like in makeup to show up on set, and they'd be okay with that.
But in that scene when they arrive at the start at the asteroid field, I'm pretty sure they do that whoop for her. So go back and watch it.
I will.
But it's in this scene that we find out that using the cameras that go click click really loud and have a flash apparently that they use for hull maintenance. They see that there's the USS Hiawatha crashed on this asteroid.
Well, they have the really cool cameras, but then they ask Saru just to use his eyes.
Oh, yes, that's right. Can you read that?
We've got these super cool cameras. Oh, Saru, can you just look out the window? Do you mind looking out the window? You got it, man. Zoop. Maybe that's his eyes that we're hearing. Zoop. It's 857 Hiawatha. Okay, great. No other way we could find that out.
I didn't quite get what happened here. There's like a huge energy pulse that knocks the Discovery around, and like, oh, now it has changed direction. It's going to collide with a pulsar, this huge asteroid.
There was a lot of just science fiction mumbo jumbo there. You know,
very quick.
So when we move forward, it pushes back. And there's a ship that's buried inside of this, and this is a bunch of rocks, and the red thing isn't there. And it's like, what the hell's going on here, you guys? Are you just like, okay, we've got all these stick-it notes here on the wall. Let's just put them all in, all right? These are all season one ideas.
Is it the Lieutenant Detmer? Is she the navigator with the crazy eye?
I think so,
She says something like, oh, it's like a magnet being pushed apart. I'm like, wait, what? The ship and something else? I didn't know what she's talking about.
Like when they move towards it, like more rocks come at them or something. The rules for it. So the rules are so wonky. It's just to get them in the pod racing. Like we can't
give
beam.
Them this. Now they have this time constraint.
Yes.
5 hours.
Because there's a pulsar too that's eating it. Like there's everything that's going on except the thing they want.
Mm-hmm. But did you like the moment where Pike is like, chewing everybody out? If there's somebody down there, we're not going to leave them behind.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Michael says nobody on this bridge would abandon a Starfleet brother or sister, sir.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess okay, it was good. It was good. I have no life opinion changing. Either way on it. I don't remember. All right, move on.
Oh, Tilly asks Michael, bring back a sample, please. This mycelial spike business. I'm not done with that story yet.
Wait, is this a mushroom or is it a rock? I don't understand.
Just grab one.
When is a mushroom a rock? When it's a plot device to keep Anthony Rapp on for the rest of the season. Oh, okay, good.
Oh, Vulcan. We get into the four crazy pods.
Yes.
Threat ganglia joke. Really? Are you surprised?
I know.
That was kind of funny.
They are kind of aping a little bit of the Avengers. You know, mm-hmm. there's there's a couple different ways you can go. You can go where everything is the most serious thing, kind of like the original series did, where everything's very, very serious, and Next Generation too, but things are very, very serious. And then sometimes there's a ridiculous situation where there's comedy, you know, where it's like, it's just so ridiculous, it's funny. And then there's the Avengers things where things are really, really serious, but people still joke, as they do in real life. And they've kind of adopted that finally. It's like, because everyone enjoys it. Let's have fun. I kind of want to have fun in Star Trek. I don't know if that's a thing, but we should do that.
Well, Pike told you to. Let's have fun.
I told them many times. but I didn't tell them to build like these weird like pod racer things that take up so much space in the Discovery like tube. It's like a weird dark ride thing where the pods come out of different like launch tubes.
Yes.
And then all kind of like they can all go through like the Three Stooges trying to go through the door at the same time if you don't like sync it up.
What do the Three Stooges always say? Oh, I'll think of it later. Whenever they go through a door at the same time, he always says, oh, damn it, I forgot. I'll come back.
All right.
We have collision. And why do they have to go so fast through the asteroid field? I don't understand. Flying through. I know.
The faster we go, dangerous? The safer it is.
Yes. But there's a problem, and Burnham ends up saving Pike's life.
Yes. Well, not before we lose this guy who I knew.
Yes.
Basically, from the moment he beamed on, oh, buddy. Oh, buddy, enjoy this. Oh, enjoy this, Geordi.
You're young.
Yeah, because you beam on, you're a jackass, and you're yelling at the star of the show, and you've got her job. This is not good.
Spock that we were expecting.
And here's the thing, too, is that Pike is like, we don't leave anyone behind. And then your science officer gets whacked, and you guys don't even hold a ceremony for him. I mean, like, afterwards, like no one lays, like, a, you know, United Federation of Planets like, yes. flag on a empty casket and shoots out in space. They're just like, well, what are we going to do now? Ha-ha! You know, well, we could mourn the death of this guy you've probably been on the ship with for a while, but it's up to you, you know.
That's what they're doing back in the Enterprise. They'll take it.
That's right. Yes. We need to get a message out to number one. this guy, what was his name like?
Connolly?
Connolly, yeah. Sean Connolly or something like that, or
Sean Connolly. Yes. Later on, or very soon after that, we meet Jet Reno, not Janet Reno.
Janet Reno. I know.
Jet like, Reno.
Jet Reno. Sort of sounds like an anime character, you know?
Yes.
Like you should be like it should be someone who's like chewing on a. Like a blade of grass with a long head over his head. And he's like, who are you? My name is Jet Reno. Actually, that's an Avatar character. Now that I think of it, the character not yet. Who was just like that. So that's why I'm thinking about it.
So Tig Notaro, of course.
Tig Notaro, who I know briefly.
So how do you know her again?
She, I'm sorry, I'm walking away from
you. You sound 10 feet away.
I have to get the power. I'm down to 9% power here.
Oh. That's right, because Mike does not believe in plugging in his laptop when he does.
No, he just likes
to wing it.
I like to wing it. I like to go to, you know, overdrive here, manual. All right, here we go. Tig is a friend of Sarah Silverman, who used to do Channel 101 stuff, and I sat next to her during one of the Channy Awards, I think, one year, for like 2 hours, and it was fun. She's really funny, really nice. Good for her. She adds, so we got Stamets, who I guess was the engineer, and now we've got an actual engineer, who we're going to put her in, and she also fixes people, so why not?
what do you think? He's going to leave and be replaced by her? Does she eventually join their crew? Do you know?
I think she will. It was announced that she's going to be joining the show, so I don't know why, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, her intro, you know, this episode was to tease Spock, intro Pike, and probably Tig, and move Stamets kind of to a different place. Because if they're not going to use the Mycelia Network, because I think they're still kind of reeling from that whole lawsuit against them from the video game guy.
Oh, yeah.
All the weird similarities with tardigrades and, you know. Mm-hmm. just to be honest, I mean, like, I don't think anyone's super thrilled with this whole mycelial network thing. So let's just use warp speed, which is cool. And, we'll see. But so they find her.
She thinks the Klingon war is still going on because she's been there 10 months, 11 days.
Yes.
Engineer, not a surgeon.
Yeah. But she saved all those people. This is just, it's such a weird, this whole set piece is so odd. It's exciting, but it's weird. It's like, what is going on here? So you go to the red thing, and then there's a ship there, which has nothing to do with anything. And they go there and they get, you know, they save everybody except for Michael Burnham, who then sees the Red Angel, but it's actually Pike saving her. I mean, there's just all this, you know, it's a lot of effort for a little bit of a payoff.
Well, that's where you discover that she can't, she tries to grab that rock, but it doesn't beam with her. So it has some special properties.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's the other thing. So they have to go get a rock. this big rock, and I don't understand what's going on with this rock either. Is this rock part of the Red Angel?
Yeah, I watched that scene in sickbay where she's having her broken leg repaired, and she and Tilly are discussing how that rock she picked up is not comprised of baryonic matter. Huh? And they were touching something impossible. What? It's a bridge to an unlimited, efficient energy source, a new branch of science. And they talk about dark matter, which I'm like, oh, okay. Now that sounds interesting. That gets my curiosity.
I guess if they just would have said dark matter, that would have been okay too. But it's just so buried in all of this running around, which can be sometimes the problem when you have just go is that you can't stop and actually figure out what the hell's going on. This whole section here is a little baffling. They come here for one reason. They go get a rock. They get Tig Notaro. You know, it's like, well, we came for one thing. We've got a bunch of other cool stuff here, I guess. This should load up our season pretty well.
Yeah, laying the groundwork for all these crazy storylines coming up.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just, just kind of putting everything into place.
Pike returns command to Saru since he has completed this special mission after they capture the asteroid.
It seems like a weird, it's interesting, but it's like, if you're in command, it should be, from the moment I take over until the moment I get, into safe space, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising, but.
Because there's still all those crazy asteroids flying around, and you don't just be like, man, it's really snowy here as I'm driving, but this is your car, so I'm letting go of the wheel. No, whoa. I just built those tires. Come on, man.
Well, you always wanted to see Saru be the captain, didn't you?
I did. I think out of all of the Who Wants to Be the Captain reality series last year, he was the best. And honestly, if they didn't have Pike, which I think is a pretty good safe idea, Saru would have been a great captain for the season as well. You know, he is measured. Mm-hmm. He does follow things by the book. He does have some level of doubt, and it'd be interesting to watch him grow into it as he tried every once in a while, when he was captain sometimes, and then evil Giorgio was captain for a while, and you're like, what the hell? Jesus, come on. Jesus!
Well, now he's sort of, what, co-captain?
I don't even understand.
Quite get that relationship.
This is when they need the double seats from the Orville, where there's two command seats right next to each other. Wait, who's the captain? Who am I talking to? Well, who's that next to you? Don't worry about it. It's my ex-wife. What? What is this?
But Pike is in Lorca's old ready room, finding that fortune cookie, which I didn't get your Facebook post until I watched this today. found a fortune cookie fortune on the floor, too.
I did. I was like, ooh, what does this say? You'll receive a promotion. Well, that's not very, it's very nebulous and ethereal, Pike's one. You know, it's like.
But we see him in the blue uniform, no more yellow for now. Much to your dismay. In the blue.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he gets into that outfit. You know, he finally kind of suits up in that, which is, I guess it's fine. Hopefully they'll, you know. The Federation will be like, okay, everyone wear these outfits. These are super cool outfits.
like how he comments on how stark the room is, nowhere to sit.
Yeah. We, and again, he's like, I'm going to clear all this out and put in some chairs. It's like, man, you are just everything that is wrong with the first season, you are dealing with. Yes. Except for Stamets. Stamets does one, he deals with one issue, which doesn't actually take, when he's leaving, or he's telling Tilly he's leaving, and he's like, let me give you a piece of advice. You talk a lot. Talk less. You know?
Yes.
And I was like, yes.
Yes. Oh.
And then she talks a lot more.
Making jokes. Yeah. Yes. Needs a new ready room. Eventually you will have a aquarium in it, maybe. Need some carpet in here.
Where Crazy Riker will pat at the fishbowl when he's a Neanderthal.
Yes.
You know, Kiernan told me that that was actually Jonathan Frakes' stunt double, or his stand-in. Yes.
Really?
And when you look at it, you're like, oh my God, it is. They just, like, I'm sure they're like, Jonathan Frakes was like, sorry. Well, I guess we could get your stand-in. Good, good, go do that. I'm gonna
walk out crooked.
Sounds good. Walks away.
But, we have our Spock discussion then, where Michael and Pike. She says she still wants to go to the Enterprise and still see him. And we learn that he's not there. He's taken off somewhere.
Took a bunch of sick leave, which is kind of like, okay.
So he mentions, Pike mentions their 5-year mission. So I was like, how does that fit in the timeline? Said it took a toll on my crew. Spock and me too.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is this before or after the cage? I mean, it must be before, I would think. But Spock is still, he's still like a lieutenant at this. He's like, number one is number one. So like his affinity to Spock is like, well, he's one of my crew, you know, he's one of my bridge crew. And, it's interesting. The cage is interesting too, because when we meet up with Pike, then he's really tired. He really, and maybe it's one of the reasons why they went for a second pilot is because he shows up worn down. And then the cage sort of charges his batteries a little bit, but he's still kind of this kind of wistful, I wish I could go back and ride my horse kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here he still has some energy. So it must be, he still has some years to go. I did read that the accident is not going to happen while, he's on Discovery, where he's going to, get in the chair.
Mm-hmm. And become a different guy. Was that a different guy? wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was. Okay. It was another stunt double. Because obviously Jeffrey Hunter's not gonna. Hey Jeffrey, you have an offer to go sit in a chair with a bunch of makeup on your face for like 6 days and push a button that lights up a light. How do you feel about that?
No script. It's really easy. No script.
This is the show you walked away from, by the way. So it's a guest star. I managed to get that for you. So.
Push a button.
Jeffrey, you're not pushing the button enough. Can you please push the button twice? Thank you. We should recast him.
Michael says that they were too far away to help in the Klingon War. So he's upset that he missed out on the war, apparently.
It's a weird... I mean, first of all, the Klingon War lasted less than 10 months. So this whole, it was almost like a skirmish. It was almost like the Klingon skirmish. Like, I don't know how long a war can last. I guess this is like the 6-day war and stuff.
It went on for a while. I don't know. Was it 10 months?
Well, it was less than 10 months because, I mean, maybe it was longer than 10 months. But, I mean, certainly it was less than a year.
What's her name? Didn't know it had ended.
Yeah. So because, I mean, they went and when they came back, I know it was less than 10 months. Maybe it was a year. I don't know. But it wasn't one of those long drag out kind of things. Like the Dominion War in Deep Space Nine was a few years where it was like, oh gosh, this is really going on.
Mm-hmm. so they were out on their 5-year mission at the Outer Rim. I don't know where they were.
Yeah, it is kind of weird where it's like this state-of-the-art battleship. It's like, no, you know, you guys, just stay out there. I think we got it. I think we got this. Don't come back. Don't, I mean.
What Michael refers to, and the Enterprise was a last resort. Like, huh? What is that? Would that have worked?
What's, I mean, like, are they that good of a ship? I mean, just.
No, they're all impressed by the Discovery's technology.
I know. It is another one of those kind of, we just got to make this work. Just, hey guys, just listen to what we're going to say. Probably shouldn't even have this scene, but we're trying to close the gaps on this.
They're eating the colored cubes on Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they have ice cream sundaes over here. Damn it.
How did you guys get real food? Oh, God, man. You've been eating cubes all day. But,
the other discussion about how brilliant Spock is. I guess we're going to see him next week, I assume.
I presume so. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
And that's when Michael decides, well, I'm going to head on over and go right into his private quarters and look at all his stuff.
I know. It is a weird kind of, you know, I'd still like to go to his room. I'd still like to go inside his room and go through his stuff. I think that's fair. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is pretty good. Why don't you go
in? I thought she'd, like, just walk in and look around, but, personal log, beep, play. Jeez.
If I don't make it, then I've encoded in this the voice message. Why don't you just leave, like, a very overt message? Don't make it a riddle, you know? Yes. It's like,
why do you have to make it hard?
This isn't a secret treasure. I mean, like, this isn't like, you know, if I get the treasure, I'll never have to work at Starfleet again. Like, no. This is, you're trying to save the universe. Don't hide it. In some audio, like, you know, playback in your room, which is locked until your sister shows up.
It's escape room. He lives in an escape room.
Hi, yeah, you guys didn't find the message in an hour. I'm so sorry, but here, if you could pose these things, you still had a great time, right? Okay, tell your friends. Oh, I didn't make it out of Spock's room. Oh, well.
Oh, but he has this personal log. As a child, I had nightmares. My mother taught me to control fear by a drawing, which explains, I guess, the opening scene where he freaks everyone out with a serpent. But he says the nightmares have returned, and he's having the same vision again and again. And he now understands the meaning and where it will lead him. In the event of my death, you will have to crack this combination lock, find a key, and get a magnet to pull it out of a bottle. <I know. laughs> With this gorilla mask on and read this Sudoku. This may be my last entry. Beep.
I have figured out what's going on with the Red Angel. I'm going to try and figure it out on my own, but in this audio log, I will not tell you my findings. As a scientist, it is always important to keep things to yourself.
No one on this ship can help me in any way. I will sign out and use my accumulated vacation time.
I need to speak with HR about this.
I put in a request.
I may lose a few days because I'm taking them all at once, but I am contesting that.
I have put in many hours over holidays and weekends. I believe
I am
entitled.
Why are you talking about all of this instead of the Red Devil or the Red Angel? What the hell, man? Just tell us what you found, Spock. Don't leave a treasure map.
Please don't touch my stuff. Thank you.
If my sister shows up, please do not have her go through my stuff. Don't have her ring those bells. She loves ringing the bells.
I have them just the way I like them. Please do not touch
them. I mean, T'Pring gave them to me. They're kind of important, all right, on our wedding day.
Did you like the design of Spock's quarters? I noticed kind of hints of the original series, like that kind of room divider sort of thing. Like, oh, that looks kind of cool.
You know, it's the Enterprise obviously is going to look different. They've already hinted at that with just the door and his room, but.
And that sound effect.
Yeah, I mean, that's closer to Next Generation kind of stuff. Well, even the control panel on it where, you know, it's just, you know, where you, like, I guess she got the access code, or she just pushed the button that says open, and the door opens. So I guess, you know, no code on that. I have hidden the files in this audio recording. However, I left my door open, so a grievous oversight on my part. It's a
he recorded it and then left with the door open.
I remember to encrypt the door. I don't know. God, I didn't even lock it. Damn it. Oh,
well, am I still recording? Oh, damn it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Like, comment, subscribe. Smack out. He's doing a podcast. Hey, everyone. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Seven Red Angel of Blobs. I'm your host, Mr. Spock.
We got to give a shout out to our advertiser real quick.
Brought to you by Shantix and...
ridiculous. But Michael uses the thing to swipe those images up into the air and see that the seven energy sources... Yeah, I'm sure. What did it show us exactly? Their location?
I think it basically showed him that he saw the same thing that had just happened. So he knew that this was coming and decided to tell no one, I guess. If he knew it was coming, why didn't he tell the Enterprise, hey, don't scan that? I guess I don't understand what happened there.
I thought they knew... That was at the beginning of the episode. They had the location of the one that they went to, but the other six, they didn't have coordinates for. But it looked like he had recorded images of them. I think that might be where we're going.
But it had to be before like that happened, because then it disabled the Enterprise. And if it didn't, then why would we've discovered these seven, you know, big red blob, you know, beacons. And you're leaving now? I am going to go on a shuttlecraft and go away. We actually kind of need you. This is exactly what we need you for. You're the science officer. This is science. Please figure this out for us. I've talked with Becky at HR, and she's approved it. You can't do anything about this, Christopher. Wow. I can't stop you, but I also can't agree with you.
It's the best right now.
It feels like you want to get off the ship. I mean, it feels like you're kind of scared about this stuff.
Well, I hope whatever reason it is that we find out later on, it better be worth it that he did not go with Pike on this trip. Just because he's mad at Michael about something.
I don't know. Obviously they're going to find in the next couple of episodes. Well, it looks like the next episode. Don't they see him? Yeah, he goes crazy and he's like writing stuff on floors and walls in an insane asylum, which is...
That. Oh, I thought that was like coming up this whole season. I'm not sure if that was next week.
Maybe, I don't know. But I mean, at some point in time, he's going to go crazy and write stuff on floors and walls, which is what everyone does.
Everyone like Crystal Skull.
Like Crystal Skull, like The Expanse.
The Shining.
The Shining, Deep Space Nine, Sisko did it. I mean, everyone does it, you know. Is there no one there who's like, hey, please, please don't write on those walls. I have to clean them, okay? I mean,
you that have is a Sharpie. Paper.
I got Sharpie. Paper.
Why did we give me a Sharpie?
At least in that Enterprise episode we were watching with Dr. Song, he wrote on pieces of paper and sat on his wall. Like he had like thousands of sheets of paper. They gave him paper. Thank you.
I think I may have been thinking of the Simpsons parody of The Shining. Not The Shining itself.
Oh, right. Where he writes it all. Oh, yeah, I was like.
Makes Homer go crazy.
Yeah. All work and no beer make Homer something something. Go crazy? Don't mind if I do. All right, so we have done a deep dive into that episode, which I enjoyed. Again, as we talked about it a little bit, that this season on Star Trek Discovery, there's a lot of red beacons, a lot of red angels there, which worry me. Giorgio's back in Section 31.
which I guess we should mention is also now going to become a series, the series that no one asked for. What if Mirror Universe Giorgio was suddenly in charge of Section 31, which people have mixed feelings about? Would you watch it? Yes or no? Click this box quickly. Someone told me that they're actually positioning that for China, that like they're trying to hit the Chinese audience with that. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess. I
mean, interesting.
I don't know why. I mean, but we'll see.
Remind me again of which series are happening. I get so confused. So a Picard series. So
there's the Picard series.
Giorgio.
Giorgio, the Section 31, whatever that is, and Lower Decks, the animated series. So there's still possibly a couple of...
animated series is like aimed at young adults. It's not like kid stuff, right?
No, it's aimed at like, it's like a Rick and Morty kind of crowd. Okay. It's written by one of the Rick and Morty writers. They're right. Still thinking about doing a couple of animated series for younger audiences. I went and almost pitched on that. But I don't know if they will. I have a feeling... So my fear, well, not my fear, I guess my curiosity on this is that will this season be enough to capture enough eyeballs to get back to CBS All Access and sort of be the justification for all of these shows? I mean,
be enough to get it back to CBS Access? What do you mean?
Well, no, I'm saying like so in order to watch this show, you have to get CBS All Access. I mean, or if you're in different countries, you can watch it on Netflix for free, for that subscription model. But is this going to be enough to pull people back, you know, to get people to say, oh, okay, I'll go ahead and subscribe and I'll watch, you know, the next, you know, 3 months of CBS All Access to watch this show. And then based on that, I'll go ahead and watch Section 31 and Lower Decks and all that sort of stuff.
Those other shows supposed to be on what channels? CBS?
Mm-hmm. Oh, CBS All Access. They're all in All Access, I believe. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're trying to get like all Star Trek all the time. So all year round, you've got Star Trek. I don't know. I mean, like, is it too much of a good thing? I don't know. I mean, like they were kind of like, oh, we've learned our lesson by having shows that are similar. Like they said when Deep Space Nine and Voyager were on, it was too much of the same thing, which like those shows are pretty different actually. Mm-hmm. But maybe they're going to try and diversify it. I was actually just reading this thing about the Star Wars franchise is actually not doing very well, Jason.
How so?
Well, they were talking about how 2017 Rogue One actually did better box office and ancillary, you know, marketing or, you know, ancillary product wise than 2018, The Last Jedi, Solo, and I think there was one other, like the Clone Wars series, something like that. Like they had like three different kind of features for Star Wars this past year and didn't do as well as 2017 when they had one. They just had like Rogue One out. So they're actually pulling back. They're not going to do the Boba Fett movie. They're not going to do the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. They're starting to pull back on it and saying maybe we've got too much of a good thing here. And the Rian Johnson trilogy, after they pulled him from the ninth movie, they said, nice job on The Last Jedi. Why don't we let JJ do it? But we're going to give you your own trilogy in another part of the galaxy, really, really far away from all this stuff. And that appears to be dead. So I just wonder.
Possible to have too much of a good thing. Or a lot of a not that great thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're also in such peak TV now. It's hard to, I mean, even with Game of Thrones, it's like, well, I mean, I'm not counting down the days for Game of Thrones. I mean, like, I'm very excited about it.
I know
you are. But I mean, but there are so many other things that we're looking forward to. I mean, you got Discovery and Orville's on. And then after Game of Thrones, we'll have The Expanse season 4. And, you know, I mean, see, there's so much. It's not, oh, I've got a year to wait for this show and there's nothing else on. You know,
there's three channels.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, it's like, I wonder what's on ABC. Oh, it's that.
I mean, we're Sarah and I, we've plowed through so many movies and so many, you know, we're watching Killing Eve right now and Escape from Dannemora or whatever it is. And they're all great. They're all fabulous shows. They're not necessarily sci-fi, but there's so much good television on that it's really easy to let a show like Star Trek on CBS All Access just slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
It's not something people are like, oh, we have to get that. It's something people say.
There's so much else to watch. I've got so much on my list. Things that you can watch.
So do I. There's just every day it's like, oh, now I got to watch that. That looks good too. but we'll see. We'll see. But this season, this episode has definitely kind of engendered me to
check out. I'm actually kind of looking forward to the next episode.
I know.
This feels so weird.
We were so miserable.
Yes.
For like 15 podcasts.
Did they just break our spirit? Was that their plan all along? They just wore us down.
Maybe it was.
Like, fine, you can do this now. Now you have 3D everything. I know.
Maybe that was like they just lowered our standards so much that it's like we don't really realize it actually.
That's it. Damn it.
We actually watch it with fresh eyes. Like maybe like my wife will be like, this is actually a puppet show. Do you know that? This is just a puppet show. No, it's Star Trek and there's lots of CGI. No, it's a puppet show, Mike. What are you saying? Like
it's Whopper.
It's Whopper. No, it's like Geordi when they reconditioned him with the Romulans when they captured him and they
Oh yes.
And he's like, but I saw it, it was there. I was at the conference. You know?
Yes.
I know, Geordi, this is difficult. Go through it again. When the Romulan ship showed up, well, I put on my shields and, whoa. It'll take time, but we'll get through this.
Yes.
I'm really into accents today. I'm really into it. Bad Star Trek accents.
More sound effects, more accents.
Well, you're all over the weird stick shift girls sound effects, so I get to have accents.
Hello, remember. Mike. Super loud.
I'm gonna try and find that and put it on the front or the end of the podcast today.
Yes.
All right, we should close this off. This has been a nice long one, a good one. You guys have deserved this. 2019 is gonna be awesome, and you're gonna be a part of that awesomeness.
He's been rejuvenated.
I have. 2018 was garbage.
50 was came garbage. And went.
What's that?
50 came and went, and you're fine with it.
Yes. Well, I'm not that fine, but I'm okay with it. I'm moving forward. Survived. No stopping us.
Looking forward to his AARP membership, his discounts at Denny's.
Just stop that. Just don't discount. Even dare me with that. Well, that is true. That is true. I wouldn't mind the discounts. You know, the moon over my hammy is really a good sandwich. It's really, you know, I mean, it's so cheesy and eggy, and it's got the ham in it. And
see?
They butter that bread. Well, I mean, you can have it. Like, you don't have to be a senior to get it. I mean, it's not. I wish there was certain foods. It's like, sorry, seniors only. Like,
ooh, yeah, like right. A kid's menu. Seniors only.
Yeah, I'll take the chicken nuggets.
The oatmeal, and not too spicy.
Oatmeal, yeah, and the red wine. That's all I want. We should drink. I was trying to get coerce Jason to do this podcast with some Red Angel wine. That's what we need now.
Is that an actual brand?
No, but I think that's what we should, you know, we should drink some red wine and just call it Red Angel wine.
Oh, I'll be up tomorrow.
You're not coming up tomorrow, are you?
I could.
Could.
Actually, I'm going to be a foolish extra on a commercial on Monday down here. So.
What? What is this?
I don't know. I just agreed to it. Get double pay, though, because it's a holiday.
Oh, okay. Is it... what
it's a side commercial.
Is it? Oh, it is a side commercial.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Completely unrelated to Star Trek. Like,
no, I don't know. That's, and don't you get like, what is it, like $350 to be an extra?
Yeah. But Monday, so I get seven something. That? Yes.
Oh my God, Kim, that's great. Congratulations.
Worth it. It'll be for MasterCard. I think it might air during PGA something or other. I don't know. I'll find out. I'll be a blur in the background doing the
yeah.
Live long and prosper.
Well, I mean, make sure you watch the commercial, and if they see, if you know, recognize you, you do get bumped up to a principal. So,
got to pay for my cat's vet bills. My famous cat that barfed during the podcast. He had some expensive vet bills over New Year's.
Poor Ollie. Yes.
Poor Ollie. He's okay now.
We're all. Yes. Oh, that's good. That's rough stuff. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to that last little bit.
Keep a close eye on your pets.
Yeah. Watch your pets. And if you ever get a chance to do a side commercial during a holiday, do it. Man, you know, that's $700 in your pocket. Burning away there. That's some CBS All Access subscription right there, my friend. All right, well, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing and whatever you're doing.
It's 1:30.
I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
I knew you were going to do that. I just want to talk about
Star Trek!
Instruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
Strike limits. Flame the dark troop salt.
Big cheap legacy.
Waylink complete. Waylink!
I meant to say that it should be hauled away as God.